Favorite passage out of the Word of God, Luke chapter 15. What a tremendous passage. I'm going to read the first 24 verses of this chapter. You read along with me. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? When he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. When he cometh home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either, what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? When she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, A certain man had 2 sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. He divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he'd spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. He would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father. I'll say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. When he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. The father said unto his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the message of this chapter. We thank you that though we were lost, you found us. We were in the pig pen and you put a ring on our hand and a robe on our back and killed a fatted calf and fed us the best. We thank you for your mercies. We thank you for souls that have recently been saved. Amen. We pray that Steve and Tim will lead more to Jesus this morning. Amen. We pray for every soul in the sound of our voice right here that you'll meet their need. I ask you for freedom and ease and power to preach your word that only the Spirit of God can give. I pray that I'll write it big and make it plain that he that runs may read. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it says, Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. There were a bunch of religious people in Jesus' day known as the Pharisees. They were very, very religious. They were strict in their lives. They studied the Bible. They believed in angels. They believed in heaven and hell. They believed in eternity. They believed in the Word of God. They memorized great portions of it. They had a little problem, though. They were self-righteous. They thought they were righteous, and everybody that didn't follow their particular plan and mode wasn't righteous. They lived by the law, and you get saved by grace, not by the law. Nobody ever got saved by keeping the law, and you won't either. They didn't either. Jesus came. He's the maker of the law. He gave the law in the first place to bring man under the condemnation of sin so he'd know he was a sinner and he could come to Jesus and find a Savior. The law is to bring the knowledge of sin. And with the knowledge of sin, you realize you can't keep the law. You can't make it. You need somebody to do something for you. You need a Savior who'll die for you. You say, I'll get saved and then keep the law. You're very mistaken. I hope you keep all the law you can. But I want you to know, you'll never keep it all. You're just an old wretched sinner, and you may be better than some fella down the road. Doesn't make much difference. You're still a sinner. And as a sinner, you're on the road to hell without the Lord Jesus Christ. You can reform, and you can change. You can put on new clothes. You can bathe and brush your teeth and shave. You can start going to church on a regular basis and teach your family right. And unless you come to God by His grace and the blood of Jesus Christ, you'll split hell wide open. I don't care who you are. They were a bunch of Pharisees, and they looked out as Jesus made a feast, and he had tax collectors in there, he had harlots in there, street prostitutes there, common people off the streets, dirty people, and he's sitting down eating with them. Now, no self-respecting religious Pharisee would have sat down at that table. He'd have got up and walked out. But as Brother Brent pointed out this morning, Jesus wasn't afraid to touch a leper.
Amen.
And Jesus wasn't afraid to call a sinner friend. And Jesus wasn't afraid to get down where the people were. One of the mistakes of religion always through the world, and by the way, religion may be your very biggest enemy in ever getting saved.
Amen.
Religion is an enemy to real salvation because religion teaches, do these things to please God. And what you need to do is simply by faith accept what God's already done.
Amen.
That'll please God. Religion will take you and make you very self-righteous. And you look down your nose at a world out there that needs a Savior. And what religion has done in times past, in certain instances, people have tried to separate from the world, and we ought to separate from the world, but by doing so, they got off in some monastery somewhere, wore certain kinds of clothes, only ate certain kinds of food, did certain things, thought that made them holy. The most holy person ever walked the face of the earth was the Lord Jesus Christ, and he ate with sinners. You and I might do well if we ate with a few sinners every once in a while. Of course, we do every time we sit down at the table, don't we? You might not recognize it, but you eat with a whole bunch of sinners. Now, you might not tell me that. Let me talk to your wife. I'll find out what kind of sinner you are. Now, the rest of the world may think you somebody special. Woo! Man, that great man over there, that great... Let me talk to your wife. It won't take me long. We'll find out just how great you are. She'll tell me. I promise you. I've been talking to wives 26 and a half years as a preacher. I guarantee you she'll tell me. About the time I go in the house and brag on you, oh, you're doing this. Yeah, but you don't know what he's doing here. You don't know the fights I've started. Not meaning to, you know, just simply sitting down in the house making simple conversation. I remember one time I was holding a revival meeting in Alabama. And I was sitting at the table there at lunchtime, and a lovely family there, lovely husband, wife, kids, just a wonderful place. He had the most beautiful dogs ever seen. And I commented just before dinner at the dogs. I said, "My, that's some pretty dogs you have." And the wife come unwound. Those dogs eat steak and we eat hamburger. I mean, he was a coon hunter, and those were coon hunting dogs. And they were special. They were valuable dogs, I found out later. They were worth a whole lot of money. And that man fed them steak. And his wife didn't like the money spent on those dogs. I mean, you just hang around a while, the wife will tell off on you. Amen? She'll do it. Well, at any rate, the Pharisees and the scribes, they were murmuring and they were complaining and criticizing Jesus. Now, one fellow you don't want to criticize is Jesus.
Amen.
He never did make a mistake.
Right.
He hasn't done anything wrong yet. Somebody said a while back, said if God doesn't punish America, they have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Uh-uh. God's not ever going to apologize to anybody. He hasn't made a mistake yet.
Amen.
If he burned up Sodom and Gomorrah and lets America ride all the way into the millennium, you got nothing to say about it.
Amen.
Your justice and your judgment are bound by your intellect, and they're a whole lot shorter than God's.
Amen.
This man eateth with sinners. And he says, he spake this parable unto them. There's a purpose behind this parable. Why does Jesus eat with sinners? What's his justification to the Pharisees, the religious leaders of his day, that he eats with sinners? He said he spake this parable unto them, saying. Now, what it looks like in chapter 15 are that there are two parables in the story, or three separate parables. I've, over the years, come to the place that I believe that chapter 15 is one parable. This parable is in three parts. Because I believe you'll see after I get through all three messages I read to you have the same message. Look at them with me if you will. He spake this parable unto them saying, what man of you having 100 sheep? If he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, go after that which is lost until he find it. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. When he cometh home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Say we got 99 people in here already saved, already right with God, and God's happy with that, praise God. But somebody goes out on the streets and they lead litter to Jesus Christ. I want you to know the bells in heaven started ringing.
Amen.
I want you to know in the presence of the angels of God, there was rejoicing when one sinner started repenting.
Now, God was already happy that you were saved. He wasn't a bit sad that you were saved. But there was a new one that came into the fold.
Amen.
Look at the second part of it. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house? Seek diligently to find it. When she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice. Notice that word again? Spelled the same way as the other one. Did you notice that? I bet it's the same. Amen. Rejoice with me. I have found the piece which I lost. Man, she calls up her neighbor. I want you to know I just found it. I've been looking for that gold Krugerrand all this time. Boy, that'd be something, wouldn't it? That's silver. That'd be something else. Wouldn't be a gold Krugerrand, would it? Likewise, I say unto you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. You know the same message? Sort of like a refrain from a song. Did you notice that? It comes in on the second way. And you look at the third one. There was a man that had 2 sons. One of them said to his father, Father, I'm too big to stay at home. I mean, I'm grown. I can make it in the world without you. Give me what I got coming to me. I'm heading out for the far country. I'm not staying around this local yokel. I'm heading out. Dad says, all right. He gave him what he had coming. Here's your part, son. That boy took off. He lived high, wide, and handsome. He hit all the bars and the night spots. He had the fast ladies. I mean the kind you bought beautiful jewels for. Kind that liked the flowers and the fancy restaurants and the highballs. And then you really had to live while they were having a time. But you know, going along, that boy ran out of money. And a famine hit the land about the same time. Money wasn't coming in. Investments weren't making him anything. He was down to his last dime and he went to those fancy people. They didn't have time for him. They didn't have anything to lend him. They were broke too. They'd been living the same way he's living. Even if they were, they weren't going to support him like he supported them. And he ended up in a pig pen, feeding pigs. Now that may not sound too bad to some of you Krauts, you Germans. May not sound too bad to some of you Polacks, but to a Jew, to end up in a pig pen? I mean, nice Americans, hogs raise a lot of money. I mean, yeah, let's raise hogs. But to a Jew, to end up in a pig pen, feeding pigs and wishing he was eating what they were eating, he was that hungry, he hit the bottom. But then, notice down at the bottom, he comes to himself. He said, I'm going to go to my father. And he doesn't just say it, he does it. He gets up and he makes that long journey home. It was a humbling journey, Brother Brent. That was a humbling journey. I got to go back home and say, I lost it all. I got to go back home and say, I was a fool. I got to go back home and say, I'm no more a son. I just made me a servant. Your servants lived better than where I was at. But did you notice that daddy sitting out on that road? Did you notice that daddy sitting out on that road? He walked out there every day and he's looking down that road and he sees, I know that walk. Man, I know that boy. That's my boy. And he ran. And the boy said, Father, I've sinned against heaven. And I sighed, I'm not worthy to be called thy son anymore. He said, get me the best robe. Make me a servant. Get me a ring. Just make me a servant. Let me work for you. Kill a fatted calf. We're going to have a party. How come? My son's dead. He's alive again. My son was lost. My son's found. We're going to have a party.
Amen.
You see, the money didn't matter too much to the dad. The son was what would matter to the dad. Did you notice? For a shepherd, one found sheep means rejoicing. For a woman, one found coin means rejoicing. And for a father, one found son means rejoicing. The message won. The message is won. For God, one repenting sinner means rejoicing.
Amen. Amen.
And if that's what rejoices heaven, you and I ought to be in the business of teaching people to repent.
Amen.
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 I believe we got a message there. The message is won. For God, one repenting sinner means rejoicing. Amen. I love it. Somebody said, don't preach repentance. Yeah. Somebody said, how are you going to preach that? Somebody asked Lester Roloff one time, said, how are you going to preach that? He said, is that a backslider coming home or a lost man getting saved? It depends on who I'm preaching to.
Yeah.
And I preach it both ways this morning. Well, no problem at all. It works the same either way. The message, though, I want you to know, was a shepherd had 99 sheep in the fold and one sheep was lost. I want you to think a minute about each one of the things that are lost and what they're lost to. That one sheep that is out on the backside of the desert all by himself, what's he lost to? He's lost to the protection of the shepherd and the comfort of the fold. Now, sheep don't like to be by themselves. They like a flock. And in the night, when that old coyote began to howl out there, and that wolf began to howl out there, and some of those wild dogs began to howl out there, I would know that sheep was trembling. It was scared to death. It would have loved to have been in a fold. It just wasn't in a fold. You think about that coin. What's the coin lost to? Usefulness. You ever had a silver dollar and let it get lost and you can't spend it? Now the dollar in itself is just as valuable as it was when you had it in your pocket. But all of a sudden you can't find it and it's not worth anything to anybody while it's lost. It may have intrinsic value within itself, but it's no good to anyone because it has no use. You can't spend it. What good's money if you can't spend it? Amen. Heard a lady say that. Husband, pay attention. Amen. The coin was lost to usefulness. Its master couldn't use it. What about that boy? What's the boy lost to? The fellowship and love of the Father's house. Nothing quite like going home. Nothing like, quite like the old place. Nothing quite like mom and dad. Nothing quite like sitting down at the table where mom's biscuits are there. Nothing quite like listening to daddy rant and rave every once in a while. Nothing quite like going home every once in a while is a nice place to go. And as long as that boy was sitting in the far country, he didn't have the fellowship of his father. He didn't have the fellowship of his mother. He didn't have the fellowship of his brother. He didn't have the comfort of home. Have you ever thought how the lost were lost? How the lost were lost? The sheep was lost because it didn't know the way to the fold. It was ignorant. If that sheep would have known how to gotten to the fold, it had been there lickety split. I mean, that little tail would have been fanning the breeze and it'd been heading right straight towards the fold because the sheep didn't like being out there all by himself. I want you to know there are lost people out there today, and some of you may be here today that are lost simply because you don't know the way home. Let somebody tell you the way home and you'll head that way just as fast as you can. I told the story many a time, but that little old lady, I was visiting a revival meeting up around Carrollton, Texas, and that little old lady sitting there with one baby on her shoulder and one of them hanging on to her leg, or her hip, one of them hanging on to her leg down here. And I could tell you about Jesus. Please come in. Do you know you're a sinner? Oh, yes, I know I'm a sinner. Do you believe in heaven and hell? Yes, I believe in heaven and hell. Do you believe Jesus Christ, Son of God? Oh, yes, I do. Would you like to be saved? I've been waiting for somebody to tell me how to get saved. Man, that's the easiest one I ever led the Lord all my life. She was hungry. She wanted it. She didn't like being out there lost. She didn't like being out away from the fold. She said, I want to be with the fold of God. I just don't know the way home. There are multitudes of lost people out in this big world out here that just don't know the way. Show them the way and they'll come on in. Some are lost simply because they don't know how to get saved. Your job and my job is to make the message plain and to spread it as far as we can, as fast as we can, to all that we can, that those that don't know might know. How was that coin lost? Lost by the carelessness of somebody else. Coin didn't get around by itself. Somebody was picking the coins up and putting them in their pocket, and one of them dropped out and rolled over here and went down a crack. It's under the house. Went right through the floor. It didn't get there of its own volition, but it's lost anyway. It's lost by the carelessness of somebody. There are a lot of people in so-called Christian America that are lost out there, and they're stumbling over the carelessness of other people. I have someone tell me every once in a while, I don't go to church because my mother made me go to church till I was grown. Since I got grown, I don't go to church. And I always ask him, did your mother make you brush your teeth? Well, yes. She make you take a bath? Well, yes. Do you still bathe? Yes. You still brush your teeth? Yes. And what's wrong going to church? Amen? Amen. If you're going to quit going to church, why don't you quit bathing and brushing your teeth? Same difference. Your mama made you do it. Not a very good reason, you understand, if you think about it a little while. Amen. Just because mama made you do it, just because daddy made you do it, doesn't mean you got to quit it when you get grown. It might have been a good thing to do. But there's always somebody out there that says there's too many hypocrites in the church. Too many in the church down there. And they live like the devil and I live a better life than them and blankety blank blank and so on and so forth. Well, there's some truth to that. There's some truth to that. There's some sorry people in the church. But did you know church never saved anybody? I won't say that to you again. Maybe you didn't hear me. The church never saved anybody. You don't get saved by going to church. You don't get saved by joining a church. You don't get saved by quitting drinking, smoking, lying, stealing, or starting teaching a Sunday school class or putting on a coat and tie. You don't get saved that way. You don't get saved because you're in a group of a lot of people that are saved. You don't get saved by being born into a family that's saved. You don't get saved because you're the son of a preacher. Just because the hypocrites in the church is no excuse for you to turn down the blessed Son of God and His salvation. If all the church goes to hell, do you want to go with them? Just because they're hypocrites in the church, just because they're liars and thieves and charlatans behind the pulpit that open the Bible and preach it, just because the last preacher you know ran off with the deacon's wife, doesn't mean that God's salvation's not true. It doesn't mean it. You better think clearly. But let me switch that over on the other side. Let me ask you, Christian friend, could anybody stumble over you? Could anybody stumble over you? You're a daddy that takes your kids to church. We've got to go to church. And then you walk out, you have a roast preacher all the way home. That blankety-blank preacher. I'm so sick and tired of him preaching till 12:30. I mean, I'm tired of being last in line at Luby's. Every time I turn around, why, he's criticizing Catholics, and he knows my aunt's a Catholic. Fuss and cuss and lie and steal and cheat and fight like a bunch of cats and dogs, and your kids grow up thinking, what kind of home is this? Anybody stumbling over you? When I got saved out there in Roswell, New Mexico, I smoked 2 packs a day. I quit smoking and I quit cussing and I quit gambling and I quit drinking in one day's time. The toughest one was smoking. And I didn't quit smoking because I thought it was a sin. At that time, I didn't even think it was a sin. I quit smoking because I didn't want to walk up to some dope head and tell him Jesus Christ can deliver you from your dope. He'll say, if he can deliver me from my dope, why hadn't he delivered you from your cigarettes? For testimony! There's some things I don't do and won't do strictly for testimony. I don't want souls stumbling over my stupidity into hell and use me for an excuse. Can anybody use you for an excuse? Can your friends or family point to you and say, that's a Christian, I don't want to be one. If that's the kind of Christianity you got, it doesn't change your life, you don't live any better than I live, then what use is it? Might as well stay home, watch television, go out and play golf on Sunday, go fishing, do anything else. I don't need it. Anybody stumble over you? Corn was lost by the carelessness of somebody else. It didn't lose itself. But it was lost, nevertheless. Just as lost, no matter how it was lost. Do you have a Christian testimony? If we took you to court this week, would there be enough evidence to convict you of being a Christian? Could they look at your bank account and see money gone to the Lord's work? Could they look in your house and find tracts and Bibles and whatever? Could they say, well, at least I know he thanks the Lord for his meals? Could they say that? Could they say, well, what comes out of his mouth are sweet words? Could they say, he brags on Jesus? Could they say anything about you that would convict you of being a Christian? It was a crime to be a Christian. Could they gather enough witnesses with evidence to convict you of being one? Are you such a weak Christian, such an insipid, pale Christian, that nobody knows you're one? I don't necessarily want everybody in the church to be so obnoxious that everybody hates them because they're Christian. But I don't want them to be so pale on the other side that nobody even knows they are one either. Isn't there some better ground to walk somewhere down the middle? I'm about as obnoxious as most. But I try to slip in gently to a few along the way. You know how the son was lost? You know how the son was lost? He's lost by his own stubborn will. He knew the way home. He knew how to get there. He knew he had a good daddy. And he knew he could work for his daddy. He knew the way home. Why was he lost? He wasn't lost because his daddy was a careless liver. He wasn't lost because he had a mother that was sorry. He wasn't lost because he had a brother that wouldn't work. He wasn't lost because of all these other things that people give. He wasn't lost because he didn't know the way. He was lost because of his own stubborn self-will life. He said, I don't want to be there. I don't want to be home. I don't want to be a preacher. I don't want to be a Christian. I don't want to live for God.
lost by stubborn self-will. There are a lot of people out there in this world, they know the way. They've heard the message. And they realize, well, they're sorry Christians, they're also sorry car salesmen. They don't quit driving cars. There's sorry picture shows. They don't quit going to all the picture shows. There's sorry programs on television. They haven't kicked the thing out. So the same way they realize, though there's sorry people in the church, that it's still worthwhile to find the truth that may be there. But they're lost because they don't want to be saved. They're lost because they don't want to be close to the Father. They don't want the Father's restrictions. They don't want the Father's convictions. They don't want the Father's word. They don't want the Father's authority. They don't want to go home. You know how the shepherd found that sheep? He hunted for it. He hunted for it. He didn't just ignore the sheep that was lost. He had 99 saved, but he didn't ignore the one that was lost. He went out and he went over the hills and he called his sheep by name. He went after him. He knew where he was. Now, if you're going to find a lost sheep, you got to go where they are. Amen?
Amen.
He searched the hedges and the highways and the roads and the inns and the houses. He went everywhere he could. He was looking for a lost sheep. And if you're ever going to find lost sheep, you're going to have to go out and hunt for them too. You know how the coin was found? Somebody swept her house. You want to get your house really clean, good, invite the preacher for dinner. I guarantee you that wife will clean that thing up like nobody's business. It's amazing. And then she'll apologize when you walk through the door. I haven't had time to do it. My house is just a wreck. I'm so sorry about that. I hope you'll excuse the food, but I've been working so hard, and we were just rushed. It's just on the spur of the moment, you know. And the place is immaculate. It embarrasses my wife. I'll tell you another way to get your house really clean is lose 10% of your money in it somewhere. Amen?
Amen, brother.
Lose something really valuable, like the diamond out of your ring. I mean, you'll go out and vacuum the lawn and then sift through the garbage trying to find that little bitty rock. Lose something valuable. Some of you got houses and they're very valuable things lost in them. Boys and girls, husbands, wives, sons and daughters. Family. They're valuable. More valuable than any diamond you ever looked for. More valuable than any gold coin you ever lost. Any silver coins you ever lost. More valuable than your wallet. More valuable than your credit card. More valuable than your bank account. More valuable than your job. More valuable than anything else you've got are lost souls in your own house. That woman swept her house diligently that she might find what was lost. And some of you need to start sweeping your house, so you can find valuable, valuable things that are lost therein. What did the Father do to find the Son? He didn't go to the far country. He didn't sweep his house. You know what I see that Father doing? In the story, it says he's out looking down the road. You know what I'll bet that daddy did? I'll bet you every day he walked out and looked at that road. He said, I wonder where my boy is today. He prayed and he longed and he looked for his son to come home. You got anybody lost? You got anybody lost? Maybe you need to start longing and looking and praying so that you'll see him come home. If you happen to be lost here this morning, I don't really care how you got lost. It doesn't really matter to me. It doesn't matter for all eternity. It doesn't matter whether you, with your stubborn self-will, said, I don't want the Father, I don't want the Word of God, I don't want salvation, I don't want that goody-two-shoes life, I want to live it up! When you headed your way into the far country, and you just happened to drop here this morning. Doesn't matter. I don't care if you're one of those that has too many hypocrites in the church, and I hate preachers all in it for the money and all this other stuff, and boy, you just list all your lists. Doesn't matter. It doesn't even matter if you're lost because you don't even know the way back. You never heard. Nobody ever told you. You see, the bottom line is you're still lost. The bottom line is it doesn't matter what your excuse is. It doesn't matter what your reason is. It doesn't matter how you got there. The bottom line is you're lost. You die in that lost condition, you split hell wide open no matter what's your excuse. You say, I don't believe in hell. 5 seconds after you leave this earth, you will. There aren't any agnostics that are dead.
Amen.
The only agnostics I know are alive. Every one of them that lived and died as an agnostic became a fundamentalist 5 seconds after he left the earth. He believes in God. He believes in heaven. He believes in hell. He believes Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He believes the grace of God that saves. Every one of them. There aren't any agnostics in hell. They're all believers there. I promise you. They went there unbelieving. They believe now. It doesn't matter why you're in the condition you're in. What really matters is you're in that condition. And there's a way out. There's a way out. You know, I'm thankful. Some years ago, God showed me a way out. I'm not on the road to hell anymore. I'm not some wild young man that knew the way home, wouldn't go. I'm saved. By the grace of God, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven, not because I don't drink, smoke, cuss, lie, steal, because I preach, knock on doors. No, I'm going to heaven because Jesus died in my place.
Amen.
I'm going to heaven because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. I'm going to heaven because God in His mercy and God in His grace looked down that road and when I looked to Him and said, I'm not worthy to be a son. Just have mercy upon me. He said, yes, sir. Put a robe on Him and put a ring on Him and kill a fatted calf. And I've been eating on the fatted calf for 26 and a half years.
Amen.
He said, don't you wish you were 20 years old again? Not on your life. I'm further down the line. I'm heading that direction. And maybe a good heart attack will take me out of here this week. Praise God. You go ahead and hang on to this thing. I've seen something better. I've seen something better.
Amen.
God saved my soul. And He changed my life. He said, I'm making a mansion. That old song, just build me a cabin in the corner of glory land. Oh, it's got a good foot stomping rhythm to it. And they love to sing it down here in the South like that. But it doesn't have a bit of truth in it.
Amen.
There's no such thing as a cabin in glory land. The mansion's up there.
Amen.
Read Revelation 21:22. See what kind of cabin God's building. You lost here today. Let me tell you, Jesus Christ died so you wouldn't stay lost. Jesus Christ died to pay your debt to God. Jesus Christ died in your place as your substitute. He'll save your soul today and He'll change your life. He'll save your soul. He'll change your life. You can ignore what I say. You can say, I'm just a loud-mouthed old man. He's fat and he's ugly and he's mean. He's too long, he's too loud, and he's a few other things. That's all right. It doesn't matter much to me what you think of me, in case you didn't know. I mean that. You didn't understand that? You want me to repeat it? You know what matters? Did you hear me clear? Because all I'm going to answer for at the judgment seat of Christ is, did I preach the message plain? Did I give people the truth? I can't save your soul. This church can't save your soul. Those baptismal waters can't save your soul. Just Jesus saves. And let me tell you what He'll do. He'll save your soul today. He said, but I got religion. Not any good. I had religion 10 years before I got saved. Praise God, I got saved, man. A lot of difference in religion and salvation. The world's got religion. Brother Dan Weaver's going to people with religion. Billy and Cindy go with people with religion all the time. Just lost as lost can be. Religion never saved anybody. What you need is salvation in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus Christ will save your soul and Jesus Christ will change your life if you'll come to Him. What I do have to do to get saved? Just what that boy did. Realize you're in a pig pen. Oh, I'm not in a pig pen. I'm living good. No. But you need to realize that your religion isn't any good. Your good works aren't any good. Nothing you've got can please God. And what Jesus has already pleased Him. He died in your place. He shed His blood for you. He paid your debt. He saved your soul today. Just as simple as that. Just as simple as that, He'll save your soul today. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Give me your attention. We're going to sing "Just As I Am" without one plea. But that Thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. Just a minute. Right now, I want to talk to you. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Listen to me. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to raise a hand. I'm not going to ask you to do anything. But in your heart, talk to God. Wherever you are. Man or woman, boy or girl, old or young, religious or irreligious, no matter what your condition or your circumstances outside, if you're lost, you need a Savior. Jesus Christ died in your place. Do you believe that? Jesus Christ paid your sin debt. Do you believe that? Jesus Christ loves you today, and He will save your soul for all eternity if you repent and call upon His name. Do you believe that? Then will you do it? Right now, right where you sit, will you say, "Oh God, I am a sinner. I'm lost. I need a Savior. Have mercy upon me and save my soul today. From this day forth, I'll take Jesus Christ as my Lord." Will you do that? Oh God, have mercy upon me, sinner, today. Will you do that? Right now, right where you are, right where you sit. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Right now, where you are, you individually, between you and God, He's here today. He'll hear you. Oh God, have mercy upon me. Save my soul by Jesus. Take Him as my Lord. Father, I pray if there's one lost soul in the sound of my voice, that soul will come to Thee and be saved. They'll show no shame nor embarrassment. They'll not be ashamed of you before they'll step out. They'll confess you before men. They'll live for you till their dying day. I ask you to save the lost. In Jesus' name I pray. Now would you look at me? Christian friend, maybe you're here and you're saved, but you're backslidden. You can come back to God. You can come back to God. You don't have to stay where you are. Some of you got caught in the pig pen. You can come back to God. Some of you have been eating husk instead of good meat. You can come back to God. Some of you have been a long way from the Father's house. You can come back to God. God's in the business of forgiving people. God is merciful. God is loving. That doesn't take away His justice. That doesn't take away His anger. That doesn't take away Him being the judge of all the earth. He will be that also. But my friend, if you ask for mercy, you'll have mercy. God is a merciful God. If you're not right with God today, there's something you need to do to get right with God today. As we sing this song, I'm asking you to step out from where you are, step by people there. It's all right. They'll move out of your way. You come on down here and get on your knees and talk to God about it. We're going to stand and sing. Number 249.